Hit it. You're listening to the Edge Radio program, a show so hot, your radio might catch on fire.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Edge Radio Broadcast. I'm Daniel Ott, broadcasting in the Indianapolis area on 1590 AM, worldwide simulcast on the internet at www.theedgeam.com. On our newsmaker line this evening, we have with us Dr. Richard Satter, PhD, who wrote the book Underground Bases and another book, Underwater and Underground Bases. That sounds so conspiratorial, we had just got to have him on the show to give us an explanation of that. Doctor, welcome to the Edge Radio Broadcast.
Thank you, Daniel.
Well, you're calling from San Antonio?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, how's the weather down there?
Well, it's real nice. I mean, we don't have that, cold northern winter with howling winds and snow that you do.
You don't have any tsunamis down there, do you?
Well, not that I've seen. If I see one coming, I'll run the other way.
Well, let me ask you something, Richard. You wrote the book Underground Bases. What I want to talk to you about, that, but first of all, concerning the tsunami, do you think that any part was man-made?
I don't know. I've read a lot about it. I do know that there's some very exotic and highly unusual capabilities that are available today. And I have no proof of it having been man-made, but I don't know what kind of exotic technology may exist in black programs that the Pentagon may have or other agencies may have in other countries. So while I can't say that it was man-made, I wouldn't absolutely rule it out either.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, when you're writing a book such as Underground Bases, now that does obviously, that goes into the conspiratorial genre, but you evidently have enough information to lead you to believe that there are such things, and do you have ideas of what may be going on in those bases?
Yes. Well, to begin with, I would say let's move it out of the conspiratorial genre, and in fact, because what I've done with my research is show that there's, I uncovered in my investigations many documents from official government sources that matter-of-factly discuss making underground facilities and installations in tunnels. So let's forget about the realm of conspiratorial research and firmly establish this as documented fact. Now, what I'm interested in my research primarily is trying to get at the more clandestine bases or underground facilities that are not publicly discussed or divulged, and there are some. I just don't know the number, and I don't know any other researcher who's able to say that number either. And I might add that this is not something that's exclusive to North America. There are many other areas around the world where there are underground facilities that would certainly include mm-hmm. Russia and China and North Korea and Japan, for example,
yeah.
Great Britain, Israel, Switzerland. I've read that the Swiss Alps are tunneled like Swiss cheese. The Scandinavians are some of the best underground excavators and constructors in the world, the Norwegians and the Swedes. And then, of course, it would include France and Saudi Arabia, many different countries all right around the world have underground facilities, and I have focused my research on the United States because I simply don't have the capability to research what's happening all over the world. It's hard enough to find out information
yeah.
here,
well,
and I live here.
Yeah, well, when you talk about, yeah, I agree with you. We can certainly take it out of the conspiratorial realm because during 9/11, didn't various government officials head to the underground bases?
Well, they absolutely did. In fact, if you'll notice, Dick Cheney, for example, to this day, spends very large blocks of time out of the public eye. He'll pop up for two or three days, and then he'll seemingly be gone for weeks, if not months, before he resurfaces in the news cycle for a brief period again, and then he goes away.
Where do you think he's going?
I don't know exactly. I can't tell you. I don't handle his schedule. But
well,
I can
take
tell
wild
you that,
guesses, though.
At least in the first year or so after the 9/11 attacks, it was clear that he was spending at least some of his time underground. The best guesses would have been at the Mount Weather facility in the Blue Ridge Mountains, about an hour's drive west of Washington, D.C. That would mm-hmm. be one. Another one would be up at so-called Site R or Raven Rock, which is another major underground facility on the Pennsylvania and mm-hmm. Maryland state borders,
yeah.
about an hour's drive, well, about an hour and a half drive north or northeast of Washington, D.C. And I'm sure there are others. There's certainly a large bunker complex deep beneath the White House itself. And again, all three of these facilities are publicly known. So my guess would be that he has spent a lot of quality time in each one of these three, and undoubtedly in others as well that keep a much lower mm-hmm. profile.
Now, well, I'll tell you what, when it comes to building underground bases and facilities, I suppose the government gets away with that, of course, by saying, you know, we need to operate the United States in the event of a nuclear attack. But I don't really like the idea of the government providing for itself and the rest of us on top side here have to, you know, take care of ourselves. You know, if they're going to build underground bases, they better build enough room for everybody.
Well, Daniel, you've put your finger on one of the sore spots that my research has identified. And in fact, when you see public figures on television or you hear them on the radio or you read their comments in newspapers or magazines and they talk about national security or protecting the nation in time of nuclear war, what they are talking about is first and foremost protecting themselves individually. And they will do that by scurrying underground to all of these facilities I've mentioned so far and others I've identified in my books and still others which remain top secret to this day. However, there is not provision for actually protecting the people of the United States en masse. And in fact, we, the people of the United States, would be nuclear missile fodder in the event of a shooting nuclear exchange. In fact, I saw one planning document back in the 1990s that forthrightly stated that in the event of an all-out nuclear exchange, upwards of 150 million of the American people could expect to become casualties. Now, that's a lot of people. And what would happen is that these guys, President Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, she's not a guy, but she runs with a lot of guys, and they would all scurry underground and wait it out, assuming their bunker location wasn't directly targeted by a multi-megaton series of incoming warheads. They would wait it out for a period of weeks or months or maybe even a year or two. Who knows?
Yeah.
And then when the radioactive rubble, you know, ceased bouncing, they would peek their heads up and see if it was safe to come out. So when you're talking about national security, understand that it isn't really intended that the nation itself will be protected, because against all-out nuclear war, I'm sorry, a lot of people will go bye-bye mm-hmm. and yeah. very quickly.
All right, all right. Well, Richard Sauter, we have a question coming in from Denver. A person there is an electrician at the Denver International Airport, and they say they've seen a lot of New World Order murals and have seen even a Masonic marble dedication platform to the New World Order Airport Authority.
Yes.
What do you know about that?
Well, I visited that airport, and I know the plaque they're talking about, and indeed, they have accurately described the wording on it. And there is Masonic symbolism in that airport. Having said all of that, the Masons for years have been famous for setting cornerstones in buildings and putting their commemorative markers on buildings. And it does not necessarily carry any nefarious or satanic mm-hmm. overtones.
All right.
And I am not a fundamentalist Christian, and I do not wish to be. But I would observe that from the very beginning, Masons have played a huge role in public life and not so public life.
Okay. All right, Richard, reading your bio here, it said that you've discussed a lot of these type of subjects, underground bases and, I guess, UFOs on Art Bell's Dreamland and Coast to Coast with George Norrie and the Lou Gentile Show and other things. But it appears that in that bio, a lot of it has a connection with UFO, such as MUFON and HUFON and those types of things. So
yeah.
Are you making a connection between underground bases and UFOs?
Not strictly. I will say that I initially came at this research because I had heard people talking about alleged underground bases in the southwest of North America that were purported to be operated by so-called little gray aliens and clandestine elements of the United States military. Now, this was back in the late 1980s when I first started hearing these stories to any great extent. And I thought they were very peculiar. That's what first piqued my interest in this topic. And when I began to research and write about it, I approached it from that angle because I wanted to see if there was any truth to it. To this day, I don't know. But what I have discovered is there certainly are many underground facilities. There certainly are at least some clandestine or covert secret underground facilities.
Now, do these go under the black ops genre? Is that where they're getting
the
funding?
Yes, they would. In fact, my research strongly suggests that at least some black budget money has been lavished on clandestine underground activities. So, yes, sir, it absolutely would. In fact, it's interesting, it's a little known fact, but nevertheless true, that on September 10th, 2001, the day before the attacks in New York and against the Pentagon, that Donald Rumsfeld made some remarks to the press, which were carried by CBS News, and in which he was questioned about and the size of the black budget at the Pentagon and the amount of money that Pentagon auditors could not account for. And he admitted publicly that by some estimates that figure runs over $3 trillion in the aggregate. And, of course, that admission by Donald Rumsfeld was completely buried in the news cycle, permanently buried in the news cycle, the next day by the events of September 11th, 2001.
Richard Souter, according to Bill Hamilton, the executive director of Skywatch International, he says that you have dug deep in the existence of underground bases and underwater bases, and that you offer tantalizing proof of the existence of these facilities. What was he talking about when he said tantalizing proof?
There are other agencies and organizations that would have the capability, the money, the technical expertise, and would be able to hire the personnel or have them in-house to construct underground facilities and tunnels other than major government or military agencies. And I'm talking here about some large and powerful religious organizations with the capability.
Are you meaning like Trinity Broadcasting? You think they have an underground base?
Well, I don't know, but they wouldn't necessarily be on the list of organizations that
they'd have to have a wig room, I believe.
Well, anyone, what it amounts to is that anyone or any.
Wait a minute, did I just say that? Did I just say they had to have a wig room? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I carefully pieced together a document trail to try to ascertain as best I could what the truth was behind some of these stories that I had been hearing. And when I first began to piece together the document trail, I reached a point of kind of critical mass where I said, you know, my God, what these people are saying is true at least in part. And I say this in my first book. While I'm not able to this day to say anything about the reality or the unreality of purported aliens underground, they might be there, they might not be there. I simply don't know. So I set that question to the side. But what I can say unambiguously is that there certainly are underground installations and underground facilities operated by a variety of government and non-governmental agencies and organizations for a wide variety of purposes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I also...
Well, so because it seems like you're suggesting that a lot of major organizations from government to private industry to even, like you said, giant religious corporations may all have their own... underground bases. Are you suggesting then that perhaps maybe the individual should create their own underground base? I mean, if everybody else is preparing for something.
It's up to you. Some people do.
Richard Sauter, do you believe that the Earth is hollow?
I have to be agnostic on that.
That wasn't a religious question.
No, but it's an honest answer.
Agnostic, okay. How do you get that? I'm sorry, I can't connect that. I went to public
agnostic
schools.
Means that I neither believe nor disbelieve in the hollow Earth.
Mm-hmm. Because I was going to say, if you have so many underground bases, it seems to me at some point that maybe a tunnel will intersect with that.
Well, you know, the planet is thousands of miles through, and once you get down a few thousand feet, the pressure from the overlying rock burden becomes something that you have to deal with from an engineering standpoint.
Richard Sauter, in your bio, again, it mentions something called the esoteric Kundalini Tales. What is a Kundalini Tales?
Well, that was the subject of my second book, entitled Kundalini Tales. And the Kundalini is the natural life force, the cosmic life force in every human being. It's centered mostly, though not only, in our cerebral spinal complex, which runs up our backbone and into our brain. That is where the nervous tissue in our body is concentrated, and that is where the Kundalini energy or Kundalini force tends to manifest consciously. Kundalini itself is a Sanskrit term, thousands of years old, and pertains exactly to this phenomena I just described, the Kundalini. Yeah. There is a type of yoga called Kundalini. Many people experience a Kundalini awakening without understanding what it is and may ascribe it to some kind of demonic activity or something. Frequently this would be the case in a more fundamentalist Christian type of background where people are often, and I grew up in this type of background, and people are very often very frightened.
What type of background?
A fundamentalist Christian background.
Okay, but you escaped evidently.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I have consciously experienced the Kundalini in my spine, and many other people have. It can be a very impressively powerful experience, awesome experience. It will greatly expand your consciousness. It can, in people with psychological blocks, cause problems with their health or with emotional stability.
Yeah.
Richard,
did you ever see the 1960s series called The Prisoner with Peter McGoohan?
I loved it. It's a great series.
Ah, well, finally somebody who's seen that besides myself.
Some of the best television ever done.
I love that show because really what the Edge Radio broadcast is all about, at the top, if you've seen our website, it says Discovering the Truth Together, because I believe that a lot of us have become a prisoner of what the media tells us we should believe and think, and part of this show is to get the truth out. But Richard, do you feel like your fundamentalist Christian upbringing, did you feel like you were the prisoner?
I think there are several very powerful mind control and body control technologies on this planet and have been for thousands of years. I perceive organized institutional religion as being one of the most nefarious and insidious mind control programs ever devised. Now let me say, having said that I firmly believe, and on this point I am not agnostic, that there is a cosmic creative life impulse. You may call that impulse God or whatever you want to. I don't believe the name matters very much.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel there's also clearly a cosmic death impulse. And I don't care what you call that. It's been called many different names, too. But I've observed that people die, and then I've observed that they're born, and then I've also observed that they die.
Have you observed that they come back from the dead?
Well, I haven't personally known anyone that's done that yet. I do know there are some books by people who have had so-called near-death experiences that are very fascinating. And it's also interesting that in many cases, though not all, that the experiences that people report after death are very highly spiritual, but not religious in the traditional sense. So that's the best I can answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
If you have personally encountered anyone who has. Well, let me give you one example. I can tell you that one of my uncles died. He was clinically dead, and then he came back to life. But this was after a very short period of time. And it's interesting that the reason he said he came back to life was his wife and his pastor were praying fervently by his bedside that he not die. And he says that he had the traditional experience where he went through the tunnel that many people often describe with a near-death experience. And he was feeling such love with this place that he was being attracted to. But he was drawn back into his body by the fervent prayers of his pastor and his wife, who did need him badly. And the nature of the prayer was that he not die because of the great need that his ailing wife had for his presence.
Did you say he said he went through some sort of tunnel?
Yes.
And was this person close to you?
Yes, he's one of my uncles.
One of your uncles, and so you were pretty close to him then?
Yeah, I did. I certainly knew him personally.
Well, let me ask you this question, Richard.
But then he subsequently died again.
Okay.
And for real, the second time.
Okay. All right, but he had some sort of tunnel experience.
Yes.
Well, how about this conjecture? Is it possible that you began, subconsciously, to search tunnels? Because you obviously are talking about underground bases and tunnels. Do you think in some way in the back of your mind you're actually looking for that tunnel that may lead you to a higher understanding of life in general?
No one ever asked me that question. You ought to get a prize for that. That's entirely possible. And I wouldn't rule it out whatever. I have to say that let me put it this way. In the course of the many unusual experiences that I've had since early childhood, many of which I detail or relate in Kundalini Tales, it's become clear to me that we, all of us, all the time, every day, from cradle to grave, and at every stop in between, every millisecond in between, we're surrounded by unimaginable mystery and wonder. And the unfortunate thing is that 99% of us close our eyes tightly to that and don't even want to see it. And so many people, when they're exposed to something that would draw them out of their little world even a tiny bit, react reflexively and defensively and even violently and with anger and lash out against that other person or that other event that might introduce some mystery and marvel into their lives. And so, yeah, I think there could be a connection there, because I am drawn to both of these topics, and I've had so many wonderful, amazing, mind-boggling, just curious, to use Bill Hamilton's word, tantalizing experiences during the course of my life, that I do have a sense of being drawn onward and to go deeper into the great exciting mystery of life. And so, yes, I would say so.
Richard, if you could have your choice of bases you want to escape to, which one would it be?
Personally, I'm not interested in spending the rest of my life in an underground base, and I would rather escape to a society where we didn't have things like the Patriot Act, for example, than to an underground base. But in terms of their sophistication, the FEMA base at Mount Weather in Northern Virginia, about an hour west of Washington, D.C., that's large, it's sophisticated, it can accommodate a great number of people, a couple thousand people, and it's hundreds of feet underground in the Appalachian Mountains. What people need to understand is that some of these facilities, such as the Mount Weather one, for example, can indeed be quite large and quite deep and quite sophisticated. And when you're talking about a couple of thousand feet underground, you're talking about a virtual small town, concretely, physically underground.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
And yet these facilities do exist, and they're not just one or two, but a fair number of them sprinkled across.
Well, with all these people building underground bases, Richard, are they planning on something?
You know, I think so. That'd be my best guess. initially, but starting back in the late 40s and 50s, I think they were concerned about waging nuclear war, waging it and surviving it. At least we're talking about the so-called ruling elites had the idea that they could spark off a nuclear war and scurry underground and survive it while people got blasted smithereens topside, and then once all the dust settled, they could come out and preside amidst the ruins. That seemed to have been the delusion, which persists down to the present day, by the way.
Yeah.
There certainly since then have been some other motivations, I believe. The stories that my research has uncovered, anecdotal accounts to be sure, of genetic engineering and biological experimentation taking place under great security and secrecy deep underground.
Yeah.
These stories are very persistent.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't rule out that some of these types of activities are going on.
Uh-huh.
Also, I've gotten some evidence in my research for the clandestine conduct of mind control experimentation and development of mind control technology underground, again in great secrecy and for nefarious purposes.
Yeah.
I have some indication of this going on. And also for the deployment and storage of powerful cutting-edge weapon systems, nuclear weaponry certainly, but I've gotten some anecdotal indications that other weaponry, even more exotic and powerful than that, has been developed. I've gotten intimations of that from people, but nothing solid. Again, I'm not a military engineer or scientist. I'm not on the inside of any compartmentalized project, so I would have to speculate along with everyone else as to what such purported weapons might be. But one type of weaponry that's been bandied about is so-called scalar weaponry, which, if some of the things said about it can be believed, is, you know, an order or two, an order of magnitude or two, more powerful and destructive than nuclear weaponry. And that is frightening.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that you speak at different... obviously, you've been on a number of shows and television programs and a lot of UFO conferences. It seems as if that the idea of underground bases ties in with what many believe is UFO activity underground. Do you believe there's any connection to that?
That's true. A lot of people in UFO and UFO-related circles and ufology have had that belief because there have been quite a number of reports of UFOs in underground bases and of people being abducted and taken to underground facilities where they saw UFOs or a purported alien beings, sometimes in the company of what gave every appearance of being uniformed United States military personnel. Now, I to this day have not been able to prove or disprove, I hasten to add, those stories. So initially, that was my impetus for the research, and to this day, it's one of the reasons that from time to time, UFO-oriented groups or organizations will ask me to speak to them or at their annual conferences.
Uh-huh.
I would speak to other groups, but they don't ask me, so I'm like anyone else. I go where I'm invited.
Okay, I got you there. I have such a great understanding of the use of the word, the multifaceted word of agnostic. Now I'm going to learn another word from you. I got to say I've never seen it before because this, again, appears in your bio. It says that beginning early in your childhood, you experienced a firsthand contact with a variety of paranormal phenomena that have left you a bit puzzled and flummoxed. What is flummoxed?
Flummoxed.
Flummoxed, okay.
Flummoxed means you're just a bit out of sorts. You don't know what to make of things. You're stumped.
Well, tell us, what paranormal phenomena left you flummoxed?
I give an example in Kundalini Tales. One of the most interesting experiences that ever happened to me occurred in the middle of the day. I was at work. The air was full of softly glowing golden objects about the size of and shape of large pecans. And there were hundreds, if not thousands, of them.
Did you grab one?
No, I didn't.
So the existence of objects that cannot be explained is, you are not agnostic about that. There are things that exist that you do not understand, correct?
Man, are there ever. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some of them.
Richard Souter, in the first hour, a couple things struck me. One was that you're mentioning of the vice president and the Patriot Act, and neither it seems you had an affinity for. But also you said that, I don't think I asked the question, you said you are not a fundamentalist Christian, nor do you desire to be. But you seem to say that very emphatically. What happened that caused you to say, nor would I ever want to be?
Well, you know, for a long time, it took me, it was hard for me to see the nature of organized religion, which is to induce social conformity in society and to instill deep fear into its adherents. And in fact, if you look at the history of Christianity going back through the centuries, there is a pile of millions of corpses, in the wake so-called Christian activities or proselytizing. We could talk about the Inquisition. We could talk about the great evils of slavery. Mm-hmm. We could talk about what happened.
What about what about present day?
Well, I think we can bring it right on down to the present day. I am greatly alarmed at the level of distrust and hatred and violence between peoples on the planet today of differing religious orientations. We could talk about whether we're talking about Judaism or mm-hmm. Islam, mm-hmm. but Christianity, and I believe, indeed, I observe, this is more than belief.
Yeah, now, do you know that...
I observe a great deal of violence.
Okay, and it is observable, It is observable, but doesn't it seem that the UFO people, being the agnostics that they are, or the atheists, most of them that even been on this show have said that the reason...
Wait a minute, I'd like to stop you right there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't presume to speak for UFO people and, mm-hmm. and label them all, or even most of them, mm-hmm. as agnostic or atheist. It depends, in terms of agnosticism, the subject being discussed, number one.
Yeah.
But in terms of atheism, mm-hmm. I would not presume to say that ufologists are atheists or not atheists. I think you have to take each person as an individual, and I wouldn't paint with that broad brush.
Well, I have no such qualms. I can, but listen, what I was going to say is I've heard a number of them, and they seem to say that UFO alien activity in general, and this relates to what you just said, is that they, because we cannot have peace on the earth, that the aliens are going to come down and impose it.
Well, see, there again, it depends on who you're talking to or about, because in ufology, I mean, there are hundreds if not thousands of people who are involved to one extent or another, and I would certainly not presume to speak for all of them. There may be some who have that view, however, I know others who don't. And whether, as far as purported extraterrestrials, about whom I remain agnostic, though, I have to say that I do think it likely that there are other technological species in the universe and in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as to whether they would be inclined to be benevolent or malevolent, whether they would be inclined to be our brother or our ruthless master, again, I would fully expect that with other species that may exist elsewhere in the galaxy, I wouldn't be surprised mm-hmm. if they would end up or turn out to be similar to us.
Yeah, well, Richard, you said something to the effect that you are alarmed about the amount of, I think we could say, religious hatred or just hatred in general.
There's a great amount of it.
A great amount of hatred. Where is that hatred coming from?
Well, it's coming from a dark place. I think we could say that much. It basically, all hatred stems from ignorance when you get right down to it. And ignorance is usually the result of an unwillingness or inability to open your mind, open your spirit, and first and mm-hmm. foremost, to open your heart. And it's been sobering to me as I've gone through life to realize the number of so-called religious people who actually carry a great deal of hatred in their heart. And it's sad. It really is sad.
Of the religions of the world that seems to be killing more people than not, what religion would that be?
I couldn't answer that. It again, it would depend on the region. In our time, I think you would make a real strong case for Christians. Over the last century, or even over the last two or three centuries.
Well, let's just stay in this century because we all hope that people evolve and the past crimes are abated and people go on into enlightenment. So if we stay into this century, what religion do you think is killing more people on the planet right now?
Oh, boy. I don't have firm numbers, but I have to say the United States is the only one conducting a major war at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And much of that has been cast in religious terms.
I haven't seen any preachers going over there hitting people with the Bible, have you?
No,
Seems to be a pretty secular war right now. Seems like we're staying out of the mosque, and I don't see us setting up churches or anything else in Baghdad, do you?
Daniel, do you know the reality of what has happened? The United States has savagely invaded another country that did nothing to the United States, that did nothing to the American people. And there have been upwards of 100,000 Iraqis who have been killed by American forces. That is the reality. And the truth of the matter is that a great many so-called Christians are participating in that slaughter, and that's a deeply sad, very shameful event.
Okay, so you put the majority of the death on Christians and not the Islamic people themselves?
Oh, I think you have to. They did not attack us.
Did they attack themselves?
No, if you remember, there was a big so-called shock and awe campaign, and history records that,
Yeah. Well, what about Saddam Hussein's shock and awe when he was grinding people up with a plastic grinder and gassing the Kurds? Does that not qualify for hatred? Is there any, in this century, has Christians done any such horrible killing in that way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at World War II, going back to the previous century. Looking at World War II, there were tens of millions of people that were killed by ostensible Christians.
So it'd be better to be a Nazi than a Christian?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Because that's what would have happened unless the Christians went over there to free Europe.
Well, you know, you have to understand, Daniel, that most Nazis were Christians.
Well, how can that be if they're killing people?
Well, it
people?
Can be that most Nazis
doesn't that go back
grew up
Christians?
In Lutheran and Catholic families in Germany and Austria. And
if somebody calls herself a Christian, does that make them a Christian?
Well, you raise a really important question there. And if you read the scriptures carefully, the man who was alleged to be the Son of God said that in the last day, many will call me Lord, Lord.
You just labeled the Christian, I suppose the Christian religion, as the one causing the wars. But it seems to me, what I'm looking in world history and when I look at current wars, the Christians have been bailing out Muslims, killing themselves, and genocidal maniacs that they are all over the world. And the last 90 wars that I know of, the skirmishes on the planet have to do with Muslims. I'm not seeing the Christians with the plastic grinders yet. Is there a country where Christians have plastic grinders grinding their own people up?
I would like to see some evidence for what you're saying. I mean, firmly documented evidence. I don't know where you've got your
information. Front page of USA Today, when they were talking about the plastic grinders, they were talking about it. It seems that they had the evidence.
How do you know what USA Today said is true? For example, you know USA Today primary foreign correspondent Jack Kelly, who reported from all over the world, including from Iraq, was fired last year for falsifying so many of his reports that he filed from wartime.
Did Saddam gas the Kurds, Richard?
Well, you see, that's a question that is very much in dispute.
Well, see, I also got the idea, the way you talked about the Vice President, Dick Cheney, earlier, it seems as you were a little upset. You said he goes away for months and then reappears, and I can't stand the Patriot Act, but both those seem to be swipes at the leadership of the country right now. So it clued me
that
had a little bit more animosity for the United States than you do for the henchmen that were killing hundreds of thousands in Iraq.
The Patriot Act actually eviscerates United States Constitution. It is unconstitutional, and it is inimical to the values that we hold dear as Americans, as embodied in the Bill of Rights and the American Constitution.
Okay. Well, Richard, we got this question from the Vast Blast. It asked this question. Are we building the underground bases to protect ourselves from Christians or Muslims?
I don't understand the question.
are the evidence, which you've wrote books and you've studied a long time about the existence of underground bases, are those bases being built to protect us from Christians or from Muslims attacking us?
Who is posing this question?
This came from the Fast Blast. The person did not sign it. This is a question for you.
I'd like to know the name of the person asking the question.
Okay, whoever wrote the email to me to ask about nuclear weapons, go ahead and send another email because Dr. Richard Sutter would like to know. But I certainly understand the question.
I'll tell you, I think the greatest threat the United States faces now is ignorance from whatever quarter. And ignorance, because it operates from a lack of awareness, from a sense of fear, and out of a lack of knowledge, is always a threat, because such people tend often to be rigid ideologues. They tend to be people who are incapable or not inclined.
Would you consider it ignorant for people to cause women to walk around in veils and people to cut their hands off if they stole something? Wouldn't that be the essence of ignorance, Richard?
I certainly do not think it's intelligent to cut people's hands off.
Okay, so then we can quantify and qualify where the ignorance, the majority of the ignorance coming from, right?
Majority of ignorance in what context?
Demonstrable ignorance, keeping the whole societies in poverty, killing people, rape rooms, these types of things, taking over countries, planting bombs, running planes into buildings. Isn't that the height and the demonstrable, quantitative link to ignorance?
I agree those are ignorant activities, but in the same breath, I have to say, what about Abu Ghraib, for example?
And how many people did we kill there? I forgot. I didn't get that number.
I don't know, but there, because I wasn't there. But certainly a lot of people were severely tortured there.
Okay, so you believe that reporting, but you don't believe other reports that Saddam Hussein had plastic grinders?
Well, that reporting actually was verified by the American military itself with their own videos.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was evidence the American military presented in its own courts, at the court martials that are being held.
Mm-hmm. So you never heard about the rape rooms in Iraq then?
Pardon me?
You never heard about the rape room or the killing fields and torture fields of Iraq? You never heard about those?
There is no question that there was a dictatorship under Saddam Hussein. There's no question that is heinous.
Isn't dictatorship a light word for what he did? You have put Saddam Hussein's regime above
Daniel,
your own country. I didn't say that. You did. You said Christians going around killing people in the world, and you forgot to name the countries that caused 90 of the last 100 wars. We have been rescuing Muslims from Muslims all over the world, and you're holding the United States accountable for that. It seems to me no greater love has any man than to lay his life down for his friend.
Not so.
It is true.
And you have no idea of the great slaughter that's been carried out by the very ruthless sanctions carried out against Iraq over the last 10 years. And I'm not making an excuse for Saddam Hussein. What I am saying is that the policies that have been carried out have been ruthless and vicious, and by the American government's own admission, something like 500,000 Iraqis died during the 1990s because of the economic sanctions that were brought.
If there's a building on fire in Iraq and the United States government would happen to be walking by, should they go in there to rescue the women that are screaming with getting burned to death? Or should they live alone, say,
Daniel,
in
these days, if that building were on fire, it would be because of American bombing.
Think so, huh?
I know so.
And I suppose we want the oil over there, too?
Well, I can't think of any other reason to invade, actually, because the reason...
Okay. And when George Sr. Went in there, how much oil did we get out of that? How many fields did we seize? I didn't count that number.
Well, in fact, the United States is occupying the whole country.
I think we're saving them from themselves, don't you think? You know why a fireman is a fireman? Because he lays his life down to rescue somebody else. And we have a lot of people that are dead rescuing those people from killing themselves and torturing the women and children.
There are great war crimes being committed right now by the United States.
All right, sir. Well, thank you for being on the Edge Radio broadcast, Richard.
You have been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to TheEdgeAM.com. That's TheEdgeAM.com. Where you can find out more about the guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge is being brought to you by Internet Solutions, home of affordable website design and low-cost Internet access. Visit Internet Solutions at es4.com.
ES4.com. That's ES4.com. Until next week, for the Edge Radio broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on the Edge. Thank you.